Somebody said me too. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 6 this morning. Luke chapter number 6. I caught Brother Blake off guard. Never asked him to pray before. He said, "Brother, you caught me off guard." I said, "Man, that's part of being a utility player. You know, you count people, you pray, you take up offering, and didn't know you were going to do any of them. But hey, you know what? I like people like that. That's called willing. And God can work with that. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter number 6 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, for allowing us to lift up our voices this morning. What little bit of voice we have, some of us. But God, I ask you now to, Lord, bless this opening and reading of your word and, Lord, preaching of your word this morning. Lord, get the devil out of here. Bind the devil off this place, Lord. He's not welcome on this property. As far as I'm concerned, Lord, we don't want him here. We sure would love to hear from heaven. Cover this place with your spirit this morning, Lord. Protect my voice. Lord, what little I have left, let it be used to uplift you. And God, we'll thank you for it. Cleanse me of sin now. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Bless the junior church hour. Bless the nursery worker and all the workers and all the children, Lord. And Lord, thank you for all the ones who've been saved here over the last few weeks. Lord, we definitely want to thank you for that. That there's new names written down in glory. And I'm thankful mine's there. I'm thankful I know you. I'm thankful for that song that was sang this morning. Thankful for the willing people that are willing to step up and do. God, I ask you now, just meet with us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Luke chapter number 6. This is a new message. I've never preached it before. So if I mess it up, you'll not know it. And maybe I'll not even know that I messed up. The Lord put this on my heart just this week, to be honest. I don't normally write messages the same week I preach. I'll be honest with you. I'm a series kind of guy. I like to plan ahead. I'm a planner. I like things to be planned out. I don't like to not know when I'm preaching 3 Sundays from now. That's just how I, and if the Lord changes my mind, which he did this week, I had a whole nother message to preach, but through some things, the Lord laid this on my heart, so you'll be the first to hear it, so you can critique it if you want to. But anyway, let's go. Luke chapter number 6 this morning. If you're there, say amen. 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 Verse number 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, he being Jesus, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be what, church? Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall what? Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You know, when I was reading this, the Lord took me to this verse, and this might be for me this morning. I know it is. I don't think I've ever gotten the opportunity to preach a message where the Lord did not deal specifically with me in some area of the message. But I'll tell you what, this verse right here, you ever been reading your Bible and it's like the verse jumps off the pages real quick and kind of gives you a little high five right in the face and says, hey, read that again. So we're going to read it again. The Bible says right here, blessed are ye when men shall, what, church? And when they shall separate you from what? And shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Look, we're going to keep reading in a minute, but I just want to show you something the Lord did for me. I got to kind of stay right here this morning because my microphone's not is messed up. But I told you a long time ago that I don't like it when people don't like me. I don't know how you feel about that, but if I know someone doesn't like me, Brother Scott, it bothers me. It bothers my soul. It bothers my spirit. And I definitely don't like it. You know, I can go to these ball games on Friday nights, and it don't matter. I'm the kind of person that, you know, I'm a big fella anyway. I'm loud by nature. And there's not many people I can't just go up to and conversate with. But now if I went up to conversate with somebody and I thought me and this guy's buddies, we're friends, and they all of a sudden looked at me and said, hey, you weren't invited into this conversation, that would upset me a little bit. But see, the thing is, in life, many of us deal with rejection issues. You ever think about that? All the way back from maybe when you were a child. Maybe there's a reason that you don't like not being liked. Maybe there's a reason that you can't stand the thought of being rejected, Brother Joe. And me, I hate that thought. And the devil has used that in my life in it to to do things that I shouldn't do. But God has brought this to my attention, you know, over time, but just this week especially, that I don't need to be liked by everyone. I'm not here for men's approval. I'm here because God has me here. And at the end of the day, folks, when we stand before Jesus, we're either going to get a well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm going to tell you something. Striving to have men's attention and men's applause is not going to get you the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking, God, how can you say, blessed are ye when men shall hate you? Well, let me tell you something. I've counseled teenagers over the years, and I've received counseling over the years about, you know, the question often arises when you're counseling, especially a young person. They say, well, what are my friends going to think about me? I say, son, you do right and you won't have to worry about what those friends think about you anymore, because they're not going to want to fellowship with you if you are doing right. It's a fact. Ladies, that goes for you too. I don't counsel ladies. I never have. I never will. My wife and I have sat down with them together. I just don't think that's right. But I can tell you this. I've been in counseling with my wife, dealing with young ladies before, and even older ladies. I mean, it don't matter. Man, woman, boy, or girl, we're all the same. But nobody likes when people just don't like them. But folks, when you're doing right, men are going to hate you. They don't like right. This world is more anti-God today than it was yesterday. They don't appreciate God. They don't like the Bible. They don't like the politician who will stand up and say, hey, no, we're not going to honor the gays and the lesbians and what they think is right. They don't like the politicians who will stand up and say, it's not a mother's right to abort her baby. They don't like that. They hate those people. Yet you look around us. We are the bad guys because we want to do what's right. Well, in the end, you're answering to God. Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall hate you. So let me ask you this. This is what God showed me now. I'm just trying to share with you what God has shown me. What is it that I'm doing to make this world hate me more? Hello? Everybody okay? The more you do for God, the more this world is going to hate you. Then it says, and when you shall separate you from their company. You mean I got to lose my friends? Listen, folks. You got a friend within you that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. He died for you. Not a single one of those friends that you got in your mind right now died for you. And let me tell you what I always tell young men when I counsel them. When push comes to shove, they're going to push you to the curb. They're going to throw you under the bus. They're going to laugh at you. They're not willing to go down with you. Jesus went down for you, folks. Amen. Amen. They're not willing to do that. They're going to cast you out of their company. They're going to reproach you. And cast out your name as evil. They're going to talk bad about you. You think about it. I love it when people say, Brother Drew, don't like it when people talk about abortion. I like to hear that preacher down there don't like that. I like that. I don't like that. I think it's murder. I think it's sin. I think God forbids it. I think it's an abomination unto God. And I think our country's being judged because of it. Amen. 10 million babies a year being slaughtered inside the safest place on the planet that God designed for them to be. Amen. Folks, why is that legal? Because if my people, which are called by my name, it's what the Bible says. We can't blame the lost people. We got to blame us. Yeah. Know why it's legal? Because you hear Christians say, well, voting don't matter. My vote don't count. That's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. It's a right to vote, by the way. You ought to do it. I think you ought to read over the list of candidates and find the ones. Call their offices, for crying out loud. Their numbers are online. Call them and ask them questions. Say, hey, what do you believe? And if they say, hey, I fear the God of heaven And I believe the King James Bible to be true, inspired, infallible, inerrant, perfect word of God. Listen, vote for him. You know, a lot of people didn't like Donald Trump. But when's the last time we had a president stand up and use the name Jesus at Christmas time and read the Christmas story out of a King James Bible on Capitol Hill for the world to hear? You know what they did? They hated that.
Amen?
How many would say people hate Donald Trump? You know why they hate Donald Trump? Because he ain't no liar. That man tells you he's going to do something, you might not like it, but you can bank on it. He's doing it. He didn't let people lead him. You know what he done? He did what he thought was right. I'm not talking about just Trump here, okay? I'm talking about us. You say you're going to do something, and you think it's right, and the Bible proves it's right, you ought to do it. Look at verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day. Leap for joy. For behold, here it is, church, your reward is great in heaven. I'm thankful today that the more men hate me, the greater my reward in heaven. I'm thankful today that the more men cast me away from their company, the greater my reward in heaven. I'm thankful today that every time I take a stand for right, God's putting another reward in heaven for me. And folks, you have a reward in heaven waiting for you. And great is your reward when men shall hate you. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets, but woe unto you that are what? Exclamation mark. Jesus didn't make a mistake with that exclamation mark. For ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are what? Full. For ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now. For ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Here it is. For so did their fathers to the what? False prophets. See, Jesus gave us the blessed areas. And then he said, woe unto you that are what? Rich. Woe unto you that are full. Woe unto you that laugh now. And woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Verse number 1, the Bible says, blessed be ye poor. Those who are in need of nothing, can I tell you this, church? They see no need for help. You ever found yourself in a position where you're comfortable in life? You got enough money, you got enough cars, you got enough food, you got a big house, you got enough land to live off of. Folks, listen, God can take that away from you today. How should we treat the kind of people that aren't like us? How should we treat the kind of people that are poor and that are needy and that are in our communities and reaching out for a helping hand? I'm not talking about a handout. I'm talking about a God-given ability for us to give them something that they'll never have. I'm talking about Jesus. But let's be real. How do we often look at people that we really don't know? How do we often look at individuals that maybe they visit our church once or twice and we're busy talking with our normal crowds? And look, I'm not accusing. This just happens, okay? The first 5 minutes they walk through that door, they're going to decide whether they're coming back next week. Y'all okay with that? Folks, I do my best, and please, I'm not trying to lie here, but I do my best every single Sunday, and I'm not trying to lift myself up, but I do my best every service to try to shake everybody's hand. At least once. I try to. If I miss you, I'm sorry. But why do you do that? Well, because it's important that they know that we're glad they're here. It's important that they hear that God's people are rejoicing that they're in God's house today. It's very, very important. Whether you know them or you don't know them, let me tell you something. Put yourself in their shoes. What if you were the outcast about ready to blow your brains out the night before and somebody invited you to church and you came to church Sunday morning and God's people rejected you, did not speak to you, you did not feel welcome, and you walk out the door to end your life? Or what if you're the individual who sees that outcast and says, hey man, I don't know your name, but I'm Brother Drew and I want you to know I'm glad you're here today. If there's anything you need, you let me know. Let me introduce you to some men. Let me introduce you to some ladies. Let me introduce you to some teenagers. Let me introduce you to our junior church program. Hey, guys, the world is full of what I'm talking about.
Amen. people darken those doors, a smile ought to come across your face. Because there's an opportunity for us to minister to another lost or dying soul. And folks, it's very important that we do that. How do we treat these people? Look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Simple answer to this is, how would you want to be treated if you were walking into a new church? I can tell you this. I'll give you a couple examples. When we left the church in Montgomery there, and you know, that was a surprise to me. I had not planned on leaving that church. I was under the impression that God had brought me here to pastor that church, and he had different plans, and thank God he did. I think he put me in a much better place, a place closer to home, a place where he wanted me to be. I'm thankful for that, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey after we left the normalcy of knowing where we're going to church every Sunday. It came one Sunday, we're there, we're teaching Sunday school, we're singing specials, we're in church. The next Sunday, God says, this ain't where you need to be anymore, son. I'm like, God, like, first of all, you know, we're not the family that's going to sit back at home and not go to church on Sunday. So what do? We start visiting other churches. The very first church we walked in, and again, I'm not pointing fingers, trying to talk bad about people. I'm just telling you, I hope I'm never like this. Very first church we walked in, we opened the door. There's two greeters there. They looked at us. They looked at all our kids. I said, which way is the auditorium? First of all, you should never have to ask that question. Okay? It's what greeters are for. Not only, hey, good morning, but hey, let me help you find a seat. Okay? And the auditorium's right around the corner. Take a left. I walk in there. There's probably a couple hundred people in there. Everybody's just staring at us as we walk by. It's like, I don't know if I got more kids than they're used to or what, but like, no, they're not adopted. They're all ours. Everything's all right. But we got around and we finally found an empty pew. Thank God it was empty because we filled it up. But we sat down and nobody said a word. I saw the pastor sitting. I knew the pastor. And I saw him sitting a few rows over. He looked at us and he turned his head real quick. Folks, look, that's not a friendly church. I got spoken to by one family during they had a welcome time as we do, and as the music was playing, a guy sitting behind us said, hey, brother, where do y'all come from? I said, well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you where we came from. But I had already made up my mind I wasn't going back. Do you see what I'm saying? Folks, listen, it's very, very important to be friendly, and then I'll tell you what I did. I visited another church. I can't remember if we visited two or three. But anyway, we went to a church, Grandview Pines Baptist Church in Millbrook, Brother Chance Sangster. Man, we walked in, and immediately I knew that that's where we were going to be for the next few weeks until God put me here. I didn't know I was going to be here at that moment, but God did. But I can tell you this, when I opened that door, he was standing there, his wife was standing there. Man, he came and he said, hey, how you doing, brother? What's your name? Thanks for visiting us this afternoon. Let me help you find a seat. You know, we have kids' classes. We want your kids to have a good time. If there's anything you need, listen, he invited us over for dinner on Friday night just to get to know us better. Folks, we went there every Sunday morning that we weren't preaching, every Sunday night and every Wednesday night until the Lord called us here full time. You know why? I made up my mind immediately. My wife told me on the way to the pew, we're coming back. How about that? You know why? Because his wife was friendly. She welcomed us in with open arms. That church, I mean, they flooded us. It took us 30 minutes to leave church. Everybody was friendly. And it wasn't, oh, there's a new family, let's go around them. No. Listen, be friendly to them. Please be friendly to them. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22. How should we treat these people? Look at this. In verse number 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Proverbs 21:13, back just a page or so. I'm going to read a few verses here. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the what church? Listen, it's not just talking about poor in money. It's not just finances. Folks, listen, if they're lost, can I tell you something? They are poor. If you're saved, you are rich. You might not have a dime in your bank account, but can I tell you something? You are richer than a king, wealthier than a star, happier than a millionaire driving a fancy car. Jesus lives within, and my riches are in him. I'm richer than a king. Hey, folks, that's who we are. Money doesn't get you there. You going to get there and try to give Jesus a couple $100 to let you in? No, that's not going to work. You ain't taking that money with you. Better pray for your family if you got a lot of money. Spend that stuff for before you leave. Okay? Enjoy your life a little bit. Good Lord. Proverbs 21:13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall what, church? Cry himself, but shall not be heard. Hey, you know what happens when we look at the lost and dying world and we overlook them because they might not be as up class as we think they ought to be? You know what God says? You know what? I put that person in your path for a reason. And you openly rejected them. You turned a frown to them. You perked up and walked away. I'll tell you what. When you cry out to me, I'm going to turn a deaf ear to you.
Amen.
That's the God we serve, folks.
Yeah.
Remember that. This isn't Drewology. This is King James Bible. Amen. Proverbs 19:17. Look what it says in Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the what, church? Lendeth unto the Lord. Now, how many of you have ever thought about this? I spent some time thinking about this. Let me just read the rest of the verse first. Lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he what? Pay him again. Have you ever thought about that every time you're kind to someone, you are lending to the Lord? And who better to lend to?
Yeah.
Think about that. How many has ever given money to somebody knowing you wasn't getting it back? Let me tell you a little secret, and this will help you, and it'll save a lot of your family. Don't ever give something that you can't lose.
Amen.
Amen? In other words, when you give it, it's theirs. You don't want it back because you probably ain't getting it back. That'll save a lot. Listen, you know there's a lot of families in this world destroyed over money.
Yes.
Amen? Look, I'm not saying don't pay back, okay? If you got the ability, if someone helps you out, look, pay them back. But look, don't ever give something that you can't afford to lose permanently. But I like this. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. We'll start in verse number 7. We'll read verse 7, 8, and then verse 11. The Bible says, if there be among you a what, church? A poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his what, church? In that which he, what? Verse 11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. You know what God's saying? They're always going to be those kind of people.
Yeah.
Always. And folks, if you'd be honest and dig deep back into your family, you'd probably say, I've been those people. I've been that person that needed a helping hand. Maybe not money, but I've been that person that just needed someone to let me talk to them. I've been that person that just needed someone to just hear me. You ever been like that? You got these problems and it just seems like no one cares.
Yeah.
Folks, the Bible says swift to hear and slow to what? Speak. All of us should be swift hearers. Amen? Don't ever be afraid if someone says, hey, can I talk to you? Listen, make some time to talk to them. Make some time. It might just be a few minutes. And you might have to tell them, look, I only have a few minutes. Pour your heart out. And you might find yourself there a few hours. But can I tell you something? Great is thy reward.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. We're back in Luke 6. Back at our scripture there. Luke chapter 6. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. I wonder what it is this morning that you're hungering for. Are you hungering for the Lord and His ways? Or are you hungering for carnal things. Or maybe this church, I wonder if you're hungering at all. Folks, there's people in all those categories. You know, you have the people that, and you know them in the church. They're the ones that are always smiling. They're usually happy. They always talk to you. They never give a bad report. They always have a good report. They always have something positive to say, uplifting, edifying. It don't matter. They're the person that you want to talk to, right? You know those people. But then there's the ones who, they hunger after carnal things. They hunger after things that bring temporary happiness. You understand what I'm saying? You know, folks, the world, the devil has a whole lot of temporary fixes out there. Did you know that? A whole bunch of them. Just think about it. Think about it like this. Let's take alcohol for example. What happens when we drink excessive amounts of alcohol? You get what? Okay, and when you get drunk, are you in your right mind? No. Now the devil's working through your mind and your emotions and your will, and you know a lot of people react different. Some people get angry, some people, but really and truly what I'm going down to is you forget all about what you were upset about, you know, before you were, you know, intoxicated, correct? Your mind gets off of it for a while. Then you fall asleep. And you wake up, and what's still there? The problem, correct? You know, the devil's a con artist, right? How about drugs? Let's take that one. Lord willing, none of you have ever done this, but, you know, why do people partake of drugs? They gain that high, right? And it gets their mind off of whatever's bothering them. But can I tell you something? Alcoholism, drug addiction, they're all side effects. You know, something I've learned over the years is that is not the root problem. The root problem is way deeper than that. Amen. Those are side effects for hurt. And let me tell you something about hurt people. They hurt people. I'll say it again. Hurt people hurt people. Amen? That's why forgiveness is key in the life of a believer. If you think that you are going to make it as a believer. Now listen, you won't lose your salvation, but I'm going to tell you something. You can forget about the great is thy reward part. You choose to live in bitterness and anger and wrath and hatred all the time because that person, no. Listen, you are holding yourself to the devil's leash, living in unforgiveness. When you choose to forgive, why do you think it's so hard to forgive? It's because the devil realizes that when you choose to forgive, the leash is broken. Amen? Now you're free. God is now free to work through your mind with His Spirit, to work in your mind, your emotion, and your will. You're no longer in subject to the devil. But oh, bitterness and anger and wrath. Folks, that's all the devil's con plan, right? And let's just be real. Sometimes we think about it, well, I like being angry at that person. You ever thought about that? It feels pretty good to have those thoughts about that person after what they did to me. Who's behind that? Is God about that? He's about forgiveness and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That's the God we serve, folks. That's the God we know that she sang about this morning. And by the way, that's the God that knows you if you're a believer. Amen? So, and I wonder maybe this, if you're not hungering for the Lord or you're not hungering for carnal things, folks, I wonder if you're one of the many thousands of individuals that are living around us. You know, this town of all small towns should understand suicide is a very real thing. Amen? I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings or step on somebody's toes here, but I'm just telling you, when people stop hungering for good or bad, folks are in a pretty bad spot. All they're hungering for is death. You know, why is it that a young person, 10, 11, 12 years old, would say, all I want to do is die? I have no reason for living. And the devil's back there jumping for joy. Because his game is to steal, kill, and what? And all along he's laughing at these babies that are tying ropes around their necks and hanging themselves. Putting guns in their mouths and pulling the trigger. Putting needles in their arms and overdosing. Drinking themselves to death. Y'all listening to me? The devil's real. Folks, what are you hungering for this morning? We should often hunger for the Lord and what he has to offer. You hunger for how to be better, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife. Imagine if you actually asked God. Imagine if the altars were to fill up and became tear-stained from daddies saying, God, how can I be a better dad to my babies? Let me tell you something. If that ever happened, God would transform your life. Imagine if the altars were full of mothers that were praying and saying, God, show me my weaknesses. Show me my failures. Help me fix them. How much do your babies mean to you?
Amen.
I'd hate to ask this, but when's the last time you actually got on your knees and prayed for your child? How much do you really love them? Because that devil's after them.
Yeah.
Every day. And I guarantee you, he's working just as hard, if not harder, than you are to get them. How much you love them grandbabies? When's the last time you were on your knees before God, begging God to protect them? Begging God to let you be the papa or the mama or the mimi, whatever you are that they need to be. Hey folks, listen, the devil's real. Hell is hot. But heaven's so much sweeter, ain't it?
Yeah.
Ask God to help you. Hunger to be better. God says you hunger after these things. You know what he said? You shall be filled. Verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. We went over this a little bit already. One of the biggest lies Satan tells us that we often believe is that we won't fit in or people won't like us. You start believing this lie, you'll find yourself in bad, bad company. Let me tell you something. If you're living for Jesus, you ain't going to fit in with 90% of people.
Amen.
That's just a fact. Because as soon as you say, hey, bud, there's a lot of words I can listen to and it ain't going to bother me. But you start using the Lord's name in vain, You just stepped on my toes a little bit.
Yeah.
And hey, they ain't going to like that. You know what they'll do? One of two things. They'll stay away from you, or they'll stop saying it. But how much character you got to even stand up and say, hey, don't talk like that. That's my God you're talking about. Don't say that again.
Amen.
Hey folks, great is thy reward. God likes it when we stick up for him. God likes it when people don't have a doubt in their mind that we're going to do right. We're commanded to separate. The world should never be comfortable around you. They should know by your testimony that you are different. Don't be afraid to be an outcast. I'll say it again. Don't be afraid to be an outcast. You ought to be an outcast. You ought not fit in with, I say it so much, but folks, how many times do we find ourselves fitting in with the world? How many times do we find ourselves listening to the conversations of the world and all of a sudden now we're talking about the stuff that the world's talking about? Guilty, folks. I've been there. I've done that. And it's not right. It's not good. It's not good for me. It's not good for you. Don't be afraid to be an outcast. Remember, they're different for a reason. Don't ever be too good to reach into someone's life and let them know you care. I'll say that again. Don't ever think of yourself so highly that you can't reach down. You think, let me tell you something. Jesus is high and lifted up. Amen?
Amen.
Every single one of you, he had to reach down for. You start thinking Jesus reached up to you, something's wrong.
Amen.
Every single one of you, he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross for you. And man, he reached down and he lifted you up out of that miry clay. I can just picture the day that the blind man was there and Jesus reached down and spit on the ground and mixed up that clay and wiped it in that blind man's eyes. Hey folks, that was you. You know what that blind man had? Nothing. No hope until he found Jesus. But oh, when Jesus wiped his eyes, you imagine waking up and saying, that's what a tree looks like. That's what my mom looks like. I know your voice, but I never saw your face. Folks, hello? Hey, that's what we get when we find Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything. You may be the reason they see a reason for living again. But you'll never know if you're constantly overlooking. I'm telling you, when somebody comes to you, listen, folks, I don't care if you know them or not, listen. Swift to hear, slow to speak. You just don't know what problems they're coming to you with. And by the way, you'll never know until you take the time to care. I bet you're thankful someone cared about you.
Amen.
I know I am. I'm thankful people prayed for me. I'm thankful people pray for me every day. I'm thankful when people text me and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And you know what? This morning, I responded. I texted one of my preacher buddies and I said, hey, I appreciate all your prayers over the last weeks. I gave him a report of all the people that have been saved here over the last few weeks. And he just responded with, God is using you. Hey, you know what I'm thankful for? That God would look down at me and say, son, if you'll just be willing to let me work through you, together we'll get this thing done. How's your life this morning? God can use any one of you, man, woman, boy, and girl. You just have to be willing. Remember, the same victory you have, that same victory Jesus has for them. Amen? When people around you begin to ask, why are you not the same anymore? Here it is, folks. Use this as an opportunity to spread the love of Jesus. And know your reward is great. What reward? Well, this is where this thing gets good for me. I sat there thinking, God, you keep talking about this reward. What could possibly, I mean, yeah, we're going to go to heaven, right? That's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overlooking that. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful for this. I cannot go to hell. Amen? I cannot go. I could ask God to send me there, and guess what? He can't. Why? Because I'm blood-bought. I'm born again. I know the Savior. I know the love of Christ, but what reward? Well, I thought of a few, and you could probably think of a lot more, but how about this? You know we're going to actually see Jesus face-to-face. You ever think about that? We hear about him. We watch movies about him, and they got it all messed up. Jesus ain't no curly-headed, long-haired hippie. Everybody okay? The Bible's against that. Y'all don't agree with me, come talk to me. I'm just preaching the gospel here. That ain't who Jesus is. See, what they want to do is dumb Jesus down to their image. But folks, we are supposed to be transformed into his image. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They got no business trying to make believe what Jesus looks like. Amen? He's pure. He's holy. He's without blemish. He's perfect. But I'm going to get to see him face to face one day. Can you imagine looking into the eyes of Jesus? Folks, that's a pretty big reward, isn't it? How about this one? We'll reunite with some of our loved ones. I said some because, unfortunately, all of our loved ones are not going to be there. We would like to say that, but it's just not true. But I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to getting there. I still have both of my grandmothers here, but both of my grandfathers are in heaven today. And, you know, I think about this often, about the angels rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that's saved. But I think about this pretty often. Anytime I'm struggling, Brother Scott, And I'm thinking about in my mind, the devil's winning the battle in my mind, and I'm thinking about calling the quits on this thing. I can just see both of my granddaddies standing up and cheering me on, saying, son, don't you dare quit. Great is thy reward. Don't you dare quit. You'll be here with us one day. Don't you dare quit. You got babies that need to be here. Don't you dare quit. There's a church there in Red Level that needs you. Don't you dare quit. There's schools all around you with children whom your kids are going to influence. Don't you dare be a quitter. You got grandbabies coming someday. Folks, that's what your loved ones are doing right now. Those that are there, they're cheering you on. Don't be a quitter. I tell my kids this all the time. Quitters never win, and winners never quit.
Amen.
Quitters never win. The moment I decide to quit on Jesus, folks, that'll be the biggest mistake of my life. But I'm going to get to see those loved ones again one day, and I'm looking forward to that. Here's another one. Hey, I'd love to see my children there someday. I know for a fact 5 of my 6 children are born again. Little Carolina's pretty young. She hasn't made it there yet, Lord willing, she does. I know it's not the Lord's will for her to perish, but I can tell you this. I'd hate for her to see something in her daddy that would convince her that Jesus is the way otherwise. I would hate for her to look at her mom and dad and say, I don't want none of that. It would break my heart to know my daughter died and went to hell. What about yours? That's a pretty big reward to see your children in heaven someday, amen? How about this? I sure hope those I pray for will be positively influenced and persuaded by my testimony. You ever think about the people you pray for that you can't see? You ever think about our missionaries that we give money to and we pray for and we send into countries? And man, talk about great is thy reward. Folks, God's in the business of saving. He is. He's in the business of transforming lives. He's in the business of setting captives free. Amen? He is. And here's another one. Imagine the faces of those we don't know by name, but we supported, who simply just said yes to God. I cannot wait to get to heaven. Now, I am very much looking forward to seeing Jesus, first of all. And I am looking forward to seeing my loved ones, but I know what they're doing. But I cannot wait to see the millions, no doubt, millions of individuals, maybe thousands, hundreds, whatever. I can't wait to get up there and see the churches from the Philippines, from Brother Bobby. The 36 churches that he's established in 23 years. I can't wait to see the thousands of souls that were saved because of a ministry of New Hope Independent Baptist Church in Red Level, Alabama. You'll not know their name, but man, when you see them children walking in glory, you'll say, man, that $100 a month sure was worth it. Wasn't it? I can't wait. In closing this morning, know this, the devil will always lie. Miss Barb, if you want to come to the piano and just play us a hymn of invitation. Know this morning, the devil will always lie and tell you this Christian way of living is just not worth it. But folks, let me tell you something. Every single time the devil tries to bring that stuff up and reminds you of you're not worthy, you're not worth it. Let me tell you something. Just remind the devil of his future. You know where his future is? He's going to be the last one cast into an eternal lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's the devil's future. Folks, we have a much brighter future than that. Aren't you thankful this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Barb's going to play. Listen, this altar's open this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you right now, there's somebody out there worth praying for. Folks, you got babies at home. You got husbands. You got wives. Listen, the altar's open. God's ears are open. But let me tell you something. If you're not willing to submit and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what are you willing to do? I wonder this morning if God has spoken to you, if you'd be willing to just be submissive to Him and say, you know what, Brother Drew, you're right. My home does need to be transformed. My grandbaby's lives need to be transformed. My mama's and daddy's lives need to be transformed. Brother Drew, I need to be transformed. Folks, listen. You ought not let the devil go after your grandbabies harder than you're going after them. You ought not let the devil go after them babies harder than you are. Because he's fighting. And he's trying to pick them off one at a time. And folks, it ain't going to end until the Lord comes back.